Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com from coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boyslip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Hello, the Borgeses.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Hummingbird Ridge Winery.
Joy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vivac Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com.
DonCole.biz.
I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Belvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
We're back. Yes.
Yeah, it is gorgeous weather. I mean, this is, but it's warm all over the country. My daughter lives in Ogden, Utah, north of Salt Lake, and she said it's getting up in the mid-70s there every day. So, and my sister in Missouri says it's getting up in almost 80, and so. Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, less than a, you know, 5 days before Halloween. I remember growing up when I lived in Missouri, I had to put on my costume and then heavy jackets to go out trick or treating.
Oh, yeah.
It's
different.
Yeah, it is definitely warm everywhere, seems like right now. But most people are happy. We're happy. We're back. We've missed the last 2 weeks. It's been 3 weeks since we've been on. Oh, my.
Yeah.
And,
things were going on and things were going on and, you know, we had to not do the shows for a while and but we're still here. So, and speaking of, I don't know if your speakers are buzzing or if it's on my end, but my headsets they're buzzing every time I hear audio on here from here.
Really?
I don't know if it's the buzz on.
Turn down a couple of things and see if it makes a difference.
I mean, it was during the intro. It was during, you know, the announcement. It's not yours. It's just like in general.
Oh,
the whole receive on the show and everything, the countdown, you know, all that kind of stuff.
It's on your end, not mine. I'm not getting any buzz time. I'm getting pretty good.
Okay.
Pretty good sound.
Clear.
So.
Okay. I was going through. I have a Dropbox account that I haven't used since apparently 2012, and I was putting a file. Yeah. I looked at it and I go, "Wow, I didn't even know I had that file." But I got on there and there's a show on here, and because I was doing stuff for the other radio thing that I'm involved in, I was doing a promo, and I see a file on here in the main directory on Dropbox. It says All About Wine Talk Show First Show, and
oh.
it's from It's from March 19th, 2009. And I listened to it as I was, you know, doing this other stuff and uploading to the to Dropbox since I forgot it since 2012. And I was like, oh, my God, it's like I'm interviewing you. And I'm listening to it, and I must have, I don't know what I was on or what. My voice was like three octaves higher, and I said all the time. I was like, and how come, you know, when you make the wine, how come, and I was like, oh, my God, who is that?
Was that the one you did live?
Yes. Yeah, it was Talk Shoe.
The one we did on the winery.
Oh, no, not the, no, it wasn't that one. This was on the phone. It was clearly on the phone.
Oh, okay.
But, there I go again. Now I'm going to be doing it from now on.
Be very cautious to it.
Oh, yeah, I was terrible. stop it. But anyway, I was listening to the beginning of it, and I turned it off. Hear that?
Couldn't handle
I mean, it. The voice, I sound like a 12-year-old. Who have never been on the microphone, done any kind of like it was new technology. What is this thing sitting in front of me that's picking up my voice? And I just couldn't believe it. I go, oh my! But I saw the date on the file and the file name. It says Talk Shoe. I remember being on Talk Shoe many years ago.
And it
says all about wine first show. So that was the inauguration show, and it was from March 19th, 2009. I was like, I'm glad I still have that. I think I have it on the hard drive somewhere, but I have five hard drives, and it's probably scattered on there somewhere, but I'm sure I have another version of it, but not that I'd want to hear it, but, you know, I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
So who knows?
I don't have any archives at all on anything. I don't drop stuff in TalkShoe or into boxes or anything, so I don't
apparently
have
I didn't either. Yeah, I have a resume on here from 2012. I go, what am I doing with this stuff?
Wow.
And there's a job resume on here, and then there's like, I don't know, stupid photos and it's like opening up a vault, you know, from history.
The time capsule. You created a time capsule.
I should just start tossing stuff in there, and, you know, years from now.
Yeah,
I'll go, oh,
really? Oh, wow! Look at this.
So, we'll see if March 19th. Somewhere around there, maybe we can celebrate and just play the original episode.
Yeah, that would be fun. I thought we started in January, though. I didn't think we started in March.
This was a complete introduction and you know, Ron is a winemaker and
I was like, no. Stop doing that. While we're on let's see our episodes here while loading pools episode, let's see, the very first archives is. And
you have that somewhere?
Yeah, it's in our on our Blog Talk Radio. I'm looking at the archive on that.
Yeah, you gotta go way back on that one.
Way back. Well, 6/11/2009 was the first there. So I thought we started in January. Wow. So that is the very, very first there. 6/11/2009. We talked about Riesling grapes and Riesling wine, and that was the topic there. So,
okay. And this was 31 minutes and about 32 minutes.
Wait a minute. Here we go. The inaugural show, 1/24/2009 at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It shows.
1/24/2009?
Yeah, 1/24/2009 at 0200 at 2 o'clock in the morning.
That doesn't make sense. We didn't make a show at 2 o'clock in the morning.
No, not on our time zone.
The inaugural show. Because I was. I don't know if I was. Anyway, I don't know if we have topics for today. I didn't even cover that.
Yeah, we can, you know, miscellaneous. As always, I got things about wine to talk about. But, yeah, our first show is on Blog Talk Radio. The inaugural show is what you have it labeled, is 1/24/2009 at 0200 p.m.
Oh, so 2 p.m. Are you sure? Yeah. Because I was doing news commentary type of thing when I first started out on here, and then I think I changed the name to All About Wine after that when we made the move over. I don't remember. This was
this is the inaugural show, and this is on the archives here on the on Blog Talk Radio archives. It shows that, you know, nobody's listened to it. There's, you know, nothing to it here because it's so long ago the records have been dropped. So, but I guess the show is still available. I don't know. Well, let me click on this and see what this says. The inaugural show, All About Wine. Event news. There we go.
What does it say? I think he canceled out. Hello?
Oh, they.
Oh.
What is it? See, that's, you know, so that was the first show there. And so that was.
Why have this labeled as first episode on Talk Shoe, all about
wine. That's on Talk Shoe.
Right.
It could be different because we went to Talk Shoe and we was on Talk Shoe for a while.
Right.
So,
listen to the intro here. So.
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, and I welcome you, and I was like, you know, oh, this is something we're trying out and that kind of thing, so. Yeah, it's different.
Huh. I don't know. Well, that would be interesting, Listy. Welcome to All About Wine, by the way.
we're
doing
on.
A little reminiscing here. looking at the original episodes. Yeah, 10/6 was our last episode that we were on the air, and we haven't been on since then. So, because of circumstances, my engineer here had herself emergency surgery on her back. They did some major stuff to her, but everything is fine. Everything is going well. Everything is good, and we look forward to the next, first of the year, she should be out of her hard collar on her neck and back to normal or some semblance of normal. So we are happy for that. And then last week, before we had a big event last week, the San Antonio Art and Craft Festival was it last Saturday? Yeah, I guess it was last Saturday. And that turned out very well. That was a good event and a lot of fun and always a great event. The local artists and everything are there. And this week we have nothing, which I am greatly looking forward to, not because I don't enjoy those events, it's just the fact I'm looking forward to slowing it down a little bit. So,
yeah, need some rest.
Yes.
The weather
is
fantastic, though. You can't beat the weather for the last two events you had over there.
Oh.
The weather, I think, was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Could not have manufactured our own weather any better than the last two events.
No.
It was absolutely wonderful.
Yep.
And it's supposed to hang on for the next 7 days at least from what I'm seeing. The same weather is going to continue.
Wow.
Although they did get some rain in South Florida. Miami got some rain today. But otherwise, the rest of the state is really quite dry. So, and speaking of dry, too, I just read an article about California, the drought there. They said the El Nino that went through did not help, did not improve anything, did not increase any of the rain water levels and all that, and so it's not good. There's just the drought is still got its grip on them, and it's still hurting them. So sad, but yeah, we'll be discussing that over the weeks and months ahead. But got a little bit of information here, pass some stuff on to you, pass some just, you know, interesting things that I have found out and some new products and different things that's going on out in the wine world. Cabernet Sauvignon, made by Mondi Jackson, California company. A chillable red, one of many packages that are coming out in the soft pouches. I'm seeing more and more stuff in soft pouches. It's just absolutely amazing. I get this one magazine called, BeverageIndustry.com. Our beverage industry. I've quoted you stuff from beverage industry before, but they're really starting to talk more and more about the sustainable packages, the pouches. A Cleveland company, the Fredonia Group, indicates that U.S. pouch market will grow 4.4% a year through 2020 about $10.1 billion. The more and more and more things are coming out in the soft packages, and I'm sure you've seen them in the stores. They're in stuff everywhere now. You pick up, probably the most common one that everyone's familiar with is the tuna pouches. You're finding tuna in soft pouches, but they're also doing wine, and different companies are coming out with a wine in soft pouches. They also are doing a lot of different shapes and sizes of the pouches and, doing different things with them. Pouches can have just all sorts of designs and everything. So it's interesting. It's interesting what they're doing. Every time I see something new on the shelves, every time I'm thinking, wow, it's just wine has came a long way from just the straight, 750 bottle that's sitting there and, you pick it up and throw it in your basket or in whatever you're carrying. And, the soft pouches now are making it much different, which leads me into something else, too. The millennials. What is the 28th? The millennials are starting to drink more wine, they're saying. But that reminded me the other day when I saw two or three more articles on millennials. And it says the millennials are doing this, the millennials are doing that. And don't get me wrong, if you're millennials out there listening to me, please don't send me a whole bunch of hate letters. But are millennials being played by all these reports? Are the millennials really doing this, or do you pick up something and say millennials are now drinking a lot of Chardonnay, and the millennials are saying, wow, maybe we should be doing Chardonnay, or millennials are now drinking, and the one that I saw, millennials are now drinking higher end wines, the more expensive wines, more so than any other age group, and are they? Or is it, just overall compared to others that they are and all that? And I don't know. I'm probably way wrong on this, but I just wonder if maybe reports will drive the millennials to do stuff, which is fine in the wine industry. Yeah, you all are drinking more Florida Estates Winery Plantation Red. You're going to have to come up and buy some now because you're drinking more of it. But I hope it is not a marketing tool in a lot of areas. And sometimes I wonder if maybe it might be. So I don't know. Just a thought. Cashmere Black Magic. The Klein Family Cellars out of Sonoma have released a new wine, national distribution, by the way. You can pick up just about everywhere. Cashmere Black Magic. It's 15% alcohol by volume red blend, which combines Malverde, Syrah, Petite Syrah, and Alicante Boucher and Grenache. wine grapes, which should be interesting with the couple of the Grenaches, probably not one that you see often. And the Alicante Boucher is one you hardly ever see. It says it offers notes of dark cherries and chocolate with hints of black pepper and plum. Sounds something like a Carmenere type taste, which it would be wonderful if it is. I love Carmenere. Medium body with a good tannic texture. Cashmere Black Magic offers flavors of dark cherry, vanilla, and dark roasted coffee on the palate, it also states. Cashmere Black Magic is available nationwide in 750 bottles that have a suggested retail price of $25. So there you go. It's I saw the Cashmere Black Magic. And the reason it really caught my eye was the Alicante Boucher wine, our grapes in that mix. That should be fun. Naturally Fruity, the 2015 Chloe Monterey Rosé. This is from the Chloe Wine Collection in Livermore. Again, distribution is the select markets but around the country. It was released in 2015. The first vintage of 2015 blends 20% Pinot Grigio and 5% Merlot with 75% Pinot Noir grapes. They're all coming from the Monterey County area. The grapes are night harvested at 22 to 23 degrees Brix, which is high, by the way, slowly fermented at 52 degrees Fahrenheit to maintain the natural aromas and acidity of the fruit. 13.5% alcohol by volume rosés offer notes of fresh strawberries, raspberries, and watermelon. The blend is crisp and well-balanced with a bright acidity and creamy mouthfeel. It is in 750 glass bottles and has a price of $16.99, suggested retail. So, sounds good. 22 to 23 Brix at harvest, and night harvest. They're keeping the sugars up there on that, which could be an interesting combination there. But when you start getting rosés and people, you know, you call it a rosé, and I think that scares people away from it. Then you start getting those higher bricks, and they're saying, what is this? So, who knows? Premium packaging for a premium product. We got Robert Mondavi Private Selection. We've all seen those on the shelves. Introduced a new packaging design nationwide that actually pays homage to the founding father, the founding winemaker's legacy. The sleek and elegant design, they say, still features the brand's tower logo, which, you know, if you're familiar with the Robert Mondavi Premium Selection, has the tower, and similar design elements, but with an elevated new color scheme and bottle design. It's in addition to a revamped label, the packaging includes an updated bottle shape, broader shoulders and a tapered profile for the red wine, and heavier glass weight. Which, you know, they're trying to cut back on weights on shipping and all that, and then they get a heavier glass weight. Additionally, the Sauvignon Blanc, Riesling, and Pinot Grigio now feature a new screw cap. Whoa. The focus of this design is to make the outside of the bottle feel as premium as the product inside, said John Gugino, the vice president for Robert Mondavi. The new packaging is indicative of the brand's relatability and grounded personality while also embodying a timeless tradition of quality and well-balanced wine. So, new package for the line of Robert Mondavi Private Selection. And again, that's nationwide. Mondavi is all over the place. I've always enjoyed their wines anyway. Robert Mondavi has some very interesting, consistent wines. Then they have their private selections and their different ones, and they vary by vintage. But overall, they are constantly good. Corks for a Cause. Supporting Breast Cancer Awareness Month throughout October, Manito, Mayonito, USA, announced its second Pink Cork for the Cause program, which aims to drive awareness, support research, and celebrate survivors. This year, the program is giving consumers a chance to win a pink 5-speed hand mixer between September 1st and October 31st by finding a pink cork in promotional bottles of Amianetto Prestige Prosecco Brut or Amianetto's Prestige Grand Rosé. If you find one, you can enter online. Or if you find one, you get the 5-speed, or you can enter online for the sweepstakes. Actually, I have to confess, I found this. I was going to tell you about it about 3 weeks ago, and we haven't been on in 3 weeks, and so we're down to the wire. Monday's the end of the program. All winners are automatically entered into a grand prize drawing for the chance to win one of four $10,000 charitable donations that will be made by Menonito USA to the breast cancer charity of the winner's choice in the winner's name. Cool. Cool prize. Cool thing to do. I love it when wineries get involved with stuff like that. It's fantastic. So, little update on what's happening out there and stuff. A few things to talk to you about tonight. A few things to catch you up on. First one here, let's see, where are we? Is Evidence Shrink, and there it is. As always, this isn't the fastest computer in the world, but I have already told you that I don't know how many times. All right, here we go. I think I read the boars, bears, baboons, oh my. As habitats shrink, wine regions expand, and larger pests are visiting the vineyards. I read something, Mike. I want you to guess on this. I read something about pests attacking fields and crops and vineyards in Minnesota. And take a guess on what the number one, or Michigan, Michigan, I'm sorry, number one pest in the state of Minnesota, Michigan. I'm confused now. I'm not sure which one it was. I think maybe it is Minnesota. But the number one pest for crops and vineyards and all that in Minnesota.
It's not a grasshopper.
No.
Okay. Then what are those little small dogs? Oh my God.
No.
Okay.
Those yip dogs? No. The number one pest in Minnesota or Michigan, Minnesota, is the sandhill crane.
What?
Yes.
Sandhill cranes up there?
The sandhill crane. I read this in a farm magazine a week or two ago. The sandhill crane up there is the most destructive pest up there.
Wow.
And it just because, well, I mean, you've seen them as they've been in yards and the holes they dig and all the stuff they do and everything else. Yeah, the sandhill crane. That shocked me. That surprised me. I mean, I was thinking, okay, well, let's go bigger. Let's go deer or let's go, you know, raccoons or a sandhill crane. You know, that blew my mind. That really did when I read that. So, and in vineyards too. I mean, it was talking about crops and vineyards and everything, and sandhill crane gets in there and really causes damage. So, yeah, interesting.
I'm looking at a news report out of CBS. This is from last November, so I guess it happens around November. But they get the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says there's more than 11,000 of the birds that are staging for migration, and they go through Minneapolis, Minnesota area.
Oh, so it's Minnesota then. There you go.
And they're so they are
and they're a pest. They go through the Nebraska Platte River basin in Nebraska during their migration. They land there and they stay there for a couple of days and get their strength back so they can move on. The farmers around that area hate it because they go in around the fields and everything around there. But they said that the sandhill cranes you can hear them in the mornings over 5 miles away, and they're squawking. You know, they said there's close to a million of them there, and you can hear them over 5 miles away. It's just, whoa, you know.
Huh.
You don't want
I didn't know it was migratory. Yeah, I didn't know
yes,
it was a migratory bird. Like, you know,
they actually, there's two types. There's one that migrates down here from Canada, and there's ones that live here year-round. We have a pair of them that live at the winery right there on the land that stay here year-round. But then in the summer, we start seeing other pairs that come down. So we have our migratory ones, and then we have the ones that are permanent residents. And
Wow. I didn't realize
yeah.
That. Okay.
Yeah.
They make a long time. That's for sure.
Yes, they do. Yeah. Yeah, they do. And actually, they're the biggest birds in North America that fly with their head straight out. All the other birds that are real big crook their neck, and the sandhill cranes fly with their head straight out. So it's just all about wine and sandhill cranes.
Well, you said pest. I thought you meant like an insect or something. I was thinking insect. And I go, oh, okay, it's got to be an insect.
No, it's okay. A pest. A pest. You know, and usually think of small pests. You know, bugs, fungi, small pests that wreak havoc. But boy, these things. You know, and even this article. That's why I was thinking of this article here is talking about the range of pests that bother vineyards. It can go anywhere from the real small ones, a bug like that, to enormous 500 pound, depending on where you are and what you're doing. And they're saying that as habitats shrink, they're getting more and more pests coming in. Voles, which is like a relative of a mouse, is attacking vineyards and areas. In Oregon's Willamette Valley, for example, they're eating the grapes and the shoots, and they're like little rodents. They love to gnaw and stuff. And they gnaw on the stalks and all that. So that's a problem there. These voles, and you know, in the warmer years, it's you know, a big explosion of voles in the vineyards or around the area and all that. So it's something that there, even deer, I mean, we all know how much deer, but deer has always been a problem, and because no matter how high you put the fence, the deer stand right next to it and pop over it. Yeah, it's just as simple as that. And the deer love to eat the young vines and all that. Texas, High Plains in Texas had a deer explosion back in 2011. And it really destroyed a lot of the vineyards that year because of all the deer. And then in British Columbia, something else I saw here too. British Columbia is having problems with black bear. Back in 2010, they had an abundance of black bear in the area who were coming in and eating the grapes overnight. They just knock down the fences and come in, you know, and then so that was a problem there. So it's just, you know, I talked before about wild boar hitting different areas and monkeys in Africa and Cape Town, the vineyards there around Cape Town and in South Africa. Monkeys come into the vineyard and eat the grapevines, and then if the grapes aren't out yet, they eat the young tendrils and leaf buds in the spring and all sorts of stuff. And just all sorts of problems with pests all around the world. And they're saying it's getting worse because of the habitat loss. People are starting to build more and more, which is causing it to squeeze them into areas, and instead of living out in the fields where they normally do, they're walking into the vineyards and having a good old time in the vineyards. And so, yeah, it's just, but when unbelievable. And boy, I tell you what, too, those pests can end up costing not only time and money, but also repairing stuff and keeping stuff straight or having someone take care of it. And yeah, it's a constant problem.
Okay.
excuse me. I don't have a wine tonight. See, my engineer has an operation, and I don't have my wine. That's I just realized I don't have wine. This is something that I saw that was unique, interesting. California has led a proposal to tighten wine labeling rules. The lawmakers are, you know, debating it back and forth, and there's no sign of a resolution yet. 48 members of the California House, including 36 Californians, are seeking a tighter labeling rules to protect names like Napa Valley. Now, these are protected, but, you know, they're being stretched a little bit to the limit here. Wine grape grower federal regulators extended a public comment period within the industry to try to see what they're doing and how they're going to do this. Currently, the extension is being I don't want to hear that. I hate it when those pop-ups start talking to me. They have until December the 7th to make statements on the new labeling rules proposed from last June. And I talked about this a little bit, new labeling rules. The rules would further restrict how out-of-state producers can use viticultural areas on their labels. Concerns raised by a Texas winemaker was echoed in California, who called the rules absolutely unworkable. The proposed regulations can disrupt a long-established commercial relationship, but getting grapes from a certain area and being able to call them that if you finish them off and stuff. The label rules in question govern appellation of origin and certain other identifying words. Okay, an appellation of origin is designated and distinctive region, such as the 22,400-acre Edna Valley American Viticultural Area, which is located in San Luis Obispo. Or you can talk about the 2.6 million-acre Sierra Foothills Viticulture Areas. Okay, now, the new federal rules require that at least 85% of a wine whose label includes a viticulture area be derived from grapes grown within the designated region. And the wine must also be fully produced within the state. But a loophole exempts wines that are sold strictly within single states rather than being placed into interstate commerce. So a wine made in Georgia with Napa Valley grapes, for instance, has been labeled as Napa Valley. The rule proposed in June would extend the general interstate labeling requirements to wines sold within a single state. So it would, you know, stop this. They're saying that an aspiring boutique winemaker, the thought of others, especially ultra-large wineries from out of the area, being able to capitalize on a region without actually being there is a fraud. And they're saying that it just is not right. From New York City, though, the Brooklyn Chamber of Commerce cautioned that tighter rules would have unintended negative effects on small urban winemakers. They're saying that there are complex set of considerations at play for California grape growers who sell to out-of-state producers. And so, well, there's my phone ringing. Everybody that I know knows I do a program on Thursday evening, and they still call me. And it's probably my daughter who always does that. Unbelievable. Oh, I forgot, Dad. I've been doing it since 2009, and she still forgets. So... I know. It's just, yeah. So it's, you know, what they're doing is these growers are growing it, selling it to another winery, or selling it to a winery. And since the grapes are from Napa, they're calling it Napa Valley grapes. And so it's an ongoing thing. But if you have any comments, if you have any suggestions, contact TDB. You have until December the 1st to get your thoughts in there. I don't care. You know, I mean, there's enough great grapes and great wines all around the world that, and you can get them from everywhere, although California does sell to just about everybody in the country. But there's so many different places you can get grapes and stuff. So, and Napa might make it sell better, but I don't know. So, oh well. But again, contact the TTB if you have any questions or any comments on what is happening there. I don't want to load Shockwave. Why is this saying I want to load Shockwave? Did my computer freeze up on me here? That one disappeared. Let's see if we can't make something else stop here and move on to what we want to do. It's not clearing like it's supposed to. So... no microphone detected. What happened? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Oh. Well, Skype just told me no microphone detected. Okay. Boy, the computer's acting up, doing all sorts of weird stuff here right now. It won't. There we go. Okay, no microphone detected. Well, it's back. It's saying it can detect me now. Oh, good. Let's see if we can get out of this page here. It's just taking a sweet old time. Tonight. The computer's been working quite well lately, but then all of a sudden I'm on the program and it decided that it wasn't going to work with me. No, it's not. Come on. I don't want to click on more buttons again, because if I do, then it'll just fly right back and clear the whole screen and everything else. Let's see. Oh, a wine boutique. If I can find this article, that's going to be the next thing I talk to you about. The computer keeps beeping at me. Oh, there we go. All right. Let's do this. And click on this, and if it'll open this, and well, maybe not. Yeah, really. Let's click back out of this. And let's do this, and let's go to this, and let's see if this loads this. There we go. Okay, now. but I'm talking. We don't need crickets. I'm talking.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Wine boutique. Where is this article? Okay, well, wine is on. Oh, new wine boutique. Okay, here we go. Now you can load, because I just clicked on you, so you can load for me. Boy, this does, all of a sudden it just decided to be really, really slow right now. Well, if it doesn't load, then we'll just end the program. it's telling me it's coming up pretty soon here. Oh well, I should have backup stuff to read whenever I do this stuff too. But nothing happening this weekend at the winery. But next weekend we have, no we don't, it's not until the 12th, so we got another couple of weeks before it. Oh, here we go. Vinley, V-I-N-L-E-Y, Vinley Market. an online wine boutique that favors high-quality small producers, launched with a heavy focus on female millennial targeting. There we go again, talking about the millennials. They're saying that whimsical, high-curated site targets millennials who drink 40% or 42% of all wine consumed last year. But with these, you know, and this is not an article, this is just from me, with all the boutique beer places coming out, I think a lot of millennials are going to those too. This store is a highly curated collection which challenges the industry to come up with high-level, entry-level wines for millennials. The focus is two-thirds of them are women under the age of 30. Research is also showing that they rely on information from Nielsen and BW166, which show that 79 million Americans between ages 21 to 38 drank 42% of all the wines consumed last year, surpassing even the baby boomers. Whoa. They're most often online wines where they start up, and because of that, they have opened up this new Vinley's Market. Vinley, V-I-N-L-E-Y, Vinley Market, if you all want to check it out. It has four clubs, wine clubs, which delivers wines of the month within a chosen category. The clubs are Rosé and Bubbles Club, Adventures Club, Red Wine Club, or White Wine Club. And you can also take a questionnaire and fill it out, which gives you a profile of what you are looking at, your palate profile quiz, they call it. They say it brings joy to it. The prices, I don't know what it says about shipping costs or anything, but well, according to everything now, millennia don't care about that. They just like to spend money. So, but a new online club is available out there, which, you know, interesting. Winty Chardonnay. Winty is in the Livermore Valley of California. Great winery. I used to go to Winty many, many years ago. It was one of like three wineries in Livermore County, or Livermore area, Concannon. Actually, it's Contra Costa County and outside of San Francisco, just over the hill from San Francisco and Oakland, that area. And Winty and Concannon were the two wineries there. Winty's been around forever. I mean, it's been owned by the same family for, 1883 when they opened up. And they've been operating with the same family all of those years. They actually made it through the Prohibition by, as we all know, selling to the Catholic Church, as is many people who made it through the Prohibition and many wineries who did. One of the oldest is actually the Brotherhood Winery in New York, who sold through the Catholic Church to stay open all these years. But the Winty has been there for a long, long time. They have a lot of different wines and all that. They have close to 2,000 acres, a little over 2,000 acres planted in a whole variety of Sauvignon Blanc, Cabernet, Petit Verdot, Petit Sirah, Merlot, Chardonnay, plus a bunch of different ones. But they're famous for their Chardonnay, and this is something I found interesting. 80% of Chardonnay in the United States is based on a clone that the Winty family came up with. And, you know, of almost 100,000 acres of Chardonnay in California, around there, 80% has genetic routes that came from the Winty property in 1912. That's when the great-grandfather of the current family was in the first graduating class of UC Davis. And he towed the very first class. He towed the great grandfather, who was of the current people who are running it. That a professor said, there's a great white grape in Burgundy, and it's not planted in California, and we don't know why. Maybe you can get some cuttings and see what you can do. And so he went to the University of Montpelier, which was a sister university of UC Berkeley, and got some clippings, and the rest, as they say, is history. They've been doing the Chardonnay for, well, since 1912, and it's all over the country. The same clone is all over the country now. The Winty clone, what they're referring it to, is more of a berry, aromatic, musty characteristic that you don't find in some other Chardonnays. And they said they're really quite proud of what they've done with that and what they're doing. So, Winty, they're doing sustainable farming now, not organic or biodynamic, but sustainable farming. It's just a step below all that other stuff. And they said it works for them well, and they're keeping healthy grapes and healthy vineyards and all. I have been to the Winty Winery many, many years ago. It actually is one of my first introductions into a winery. And there's real possibility, and I don't know for sure, but a real possibility that Winty or Concannon were the first, one of those two was the first winery I ever went to. I, you know, at the time I didn't make a note of the significance of that, but they are, one of those two actually had to be the first winery I ever went to. So, interesting stuff there. The red wine, we talk to you for a while that it's good for you, then we talk to you for a while that it's bad for you, then we talk to you a while that it's good for you, then it's bad for you. Well, this latest study out of Northumbria University, this is in Australia, is examining resveratrol, and it's saying that it affects the what the effect is on the blood flow, on people's blood flow. The team believes that it may boost brain power. What is this? Get off that screen. It may boost brain power, and it wants to test the theory with healthy volunteer subjects. So a study of people age 18 to 35 has been carried out, with the participants demonstrating that it did boost mental performance, although the results aren't consistent. And they're saying that it might be due to the fact that, hey, they are young, healthy people anyway, 18 to 35. It's going to be at the peak of their health, and you know, they're already performing well. So they're looking at doing another study. This one is for a healthy male. This one, they're looking for... Let's see. Oh, there we are. Healthy people between the ages of 50 and 70 to assess the effects of resveratrol. And they will get paid £30 for their time, or 30 Australian dollars for their time. The second study, aiming at young people, is also being put together, and which to see if the physical effects of range and temperature with wine will have a difference. Altitude is what they're looking at. The results of drinking wine at a higher altitude and how that will affect you. And, you know, because when you get into higher altitudes, the lack of oxygen could make a difference, along with, you know, temperatures and stuff. So the new study is for, again, 18 to 35-year-olds. They will get paid $65 for their Australian dollars for their time. So it's all ready to go. They're looking at getting these studies going. So if you live in Australia, or if you want to travel to Australia and be part of these studies, get a little bit of specific extract from the red grapes, resveratrol, has been found to increase blood flow to the brain and in some cases increase mental performance on cognitive skills. Most studies have been carried out in young adults at the peak of their cognitive abilities. Thus, the benefits of resveratrol are expected to be more prominent in older adults who may suffer a slight natural decline in certain aspects of mental function, such as memory and reaction time. We also want to establish whether resveratrol can affect mental function at altitude, which often impacts on people's performance. This was said by the PhD student Timothy Etchell, who is leading the study. So if you're in Australia, there you go. A new study, you get to drink wine and you get paid for it. What a deal, what a deal. Let's see, Venture C Millennials. Let's see what this next one is here. Venture C Millennials. Millennials and generations with, yeah. You know, every time I see these articles, how millennials are doing it, millennials are drinking more wine, they're drinking more than the boomers, and they're drinking much more expensive wine, the higher value wines, driven by a thirst for quality. Their new study by UC Davis, a new survey by UC Davis has shown that the millennials are now drinking more wines. They're drinking good wines, and they're spending more money for it all the time. So, I don't know. There's so many millennials, I'm sure they are causing it to be to balance out. What am I looking for? I can't find what I'm looking for. I make notes on this stuff. Here we go. I see millennial articles all the time when I'm going through stuff. I'm always checking out stuff on wine. There's always something on there about how millennials are controlling the wine market now. Hope so. Good for them. A new AVA is now available and just opened or just been approved in Michigan. It's first AVA in nearly three decades. It's the tip of the mitt. After years of applying, waiting, repeating, and all that good stuff, which usually takes for an AVA, the tip of the mitt American viticulture area has been approved by the TTB. This one is now the fifth one in Michigan. The Straits Area Grape Growers Association, founded to promote the viticulture north of the 45th parallel, submitted tip of the mitt back in November 2013 after unsuccessfully doing it twice before. They were finally awarded it. Excited about the new one. Tip of the mitt is surrounded by water on three sides. The climate and the soil type make the case for it. As the AVA has a longer frost-free growing season by an average of 19 days from where they're located because the water's climate is generally less extreme and fewer sub-zero days and warmer monthly averages than the surrounding areas. The soil is sandier. It will heat up faster in the spring and produce a better quality grape, which in turn will make it a better quality wine. The AVA is not too cold to grow traditional vinifera grapes, Cabernet Sauvignon, Pinot Noir, and Riesling, which, you know, the other areas of Michigan is going to freeze those when the ground gets cold, but those will be able to survive and live in that. And the new hybrid variety, the Marquette and Crescent, and also the Frontenac Gris are all being grown there, which are actually cold weather tolerant, much more so than the vinifera family. Michigan has five AVAs. The first one was Finville. Finville, established in 1981. It's rare to see Bill, on a label, a Finn Valley is the only winery within the AVA. And because Finnville AVA is encompassed by southwestern Michigan's larger and better known Lake Michigan Shore AVA, that's usually what you see. So Finn Valley Winery is the only one in the Finnville one. Rare to find that. That would be an interesting way to do within your state, collect AVAs, you know, bottled. Lake Michigan Shores AVA was established in 1983. And then La Luna Peninsula and Old Mission Peninsula, both of them around Traverse City. La Luna was approved in 1982 and Old Mission in 1987. And then 2016, tip of the mitt. Again, just, and it states it here, and so I just want to go through it again before I end the program. What is the point of an AVA anyway? And this is what the article says. Wine is about a sense of place, and the reasoning vitified in Germany, for instance, will share some general characteristics with the reasoning from Michigan, but they're not the same. Unique conditions in both places will make it different. Getting even more particular, reasoning from La Luna Peninsula AVA will experience slightly different conditions than one grown in Lake Michigan Shore AVA. AVA is basically a marketing consumer recognition tool, but most people don't know what AVAs are. Believe me, I've asked the question many times at the winery. Acquiring an AVA is the first step. It gives a bit of credibility to the area and to the wine. An AVA, for it to appear on a label, the wine must contain at least 85% from that region. The threshold is lowered to 75% for including a county or state on the label. I didn't know that. Such labeling is especially of note to consumers interested in ensuring that the wines we're buying are from Michigan. This is the guys talking about this. Tip of the mitt approval was finally allowed the Petoskey, I guess that's how it's pronounced, based winery to add estate grown on its label. And 100% of the grapes will come from the vineyards that they produce there. These AVA will establish areas, grape growers, and wineries as a very important branding and marketing tool, which will bring in wine-related tourism. They said that it will take probably 6 to 12 months to start seeing it on the label. And I'm going to stop for tonight. I can go on, but I am done.
Okay. We will. Let's see. What is next Thursday? The 3rd. November the 3rd. Wow.
Third. Oh, Halloween, everyone. Halloween.
Yeah.
Halloween.
Yeah. Drink lots of wine for Halloween.
that's always a good thing to do. I, for the first time in 16 years, we are not going to have everyone over on Halloween for chili that the engineer makes and all that because she can't do it after our operation. First time in 16 years. So we start telling the family we can't do it this year, and within 3 minutes, everyone had other plans already. I mean, it was that fast, you know.
Wow.
I know. Hmm. It's just like, oh, well, you know, have we been keeping you from something all these years? I mean, that's just, you know.
Yeah. Make you wonder. Nah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
There.
But
okay.
While I'm thinking of AVAs, I got another one here, another article. Let me talk just quickly about this. Petaluma Gap is in Sonoma County. It's the Sonoma Coast wine, that area, but they want to call it the Petaluma Gap AVA. It's over in it's in the Sonoma Coast AVA, but it is influenced by the breezes coming off the ocean, the Pacific Ocean, and the bay coming up San Francisco, northern end of San Francisco Bay. It creates a what they're seeing, like a wind tunnel type thing there. There's 70 plus grape growers in the area, and it includes a lot of big name wineries and all that. And they want their own designation, their own name, Petaluma Gap, in that area. So you may be seeing some more AVAs within an AVA there in Sonoma with Petaluma Gap. So I just mentioned AVAs, and I want to go ahead and throw that in before we end it here. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, good stuff. I was kind of thinking that why can't they just change the border or boundary of the Sonoma Coast AVA instead of having it within the AVA? I don't know if they can do that. I mean, what's the point?
They cut that in half, though. That's the problem. The Petaluma Gap AVA actually runs through from coast to water of the San Francisco Bay, and it chops off the eastern portion of the Sonoma Coast AVA from the western and northern portions of it. So it creates a double AVA if you do that. But AVAs inside of AVAs are all over the country. We see that a lot.
Yeah.
Especially in the Napa area. I mean, there's lots of AVAs inside the Napa AVA. So I wish people would, we can let more people know what AVAs are, what the significance is and all that. But it's a cool thing, and it's a cool thing we do in wine, and I wish more people knew about them. So,
It's a little confusing when they're within another AVA. And yeah, you said there's a whole bunch of them like that in the country. Just it's, at least from my standpoint, it's a little confusing. It would be like saying Polk County, where I'm at, is also part of Hillsborough County, and it's also part of Orange County. It's still Polk County. Well, they just change the borders around and say, no, Polk County is its own county. And everybody else is east or west or north of the county. It just seems like if it's a particular designation, then that's it. It's that designation. Why put a separate AVA inside of another AVA? That's just confusing.
And especially, to back up what you're saying, AVAs are set up because of the unique climate and soil and all that. So if you're putting it inside of another one, isn't that already unique and the bigger one? So why do you need to even be more pinpointy, you know? I don't know. I mean, the AVA rules are funny and strange. I don't
know. We'll get somebody who has dissected or whatever, operated on this kind of thing.
I'll get somebody who's an expert on AVA. Maybe we can, if there's someone out there, or somebody from TTB who can talk to us about it or something. So.
Oh, the TTB. That would be
That would be. Get somebody on from TTB. We'd have to have like a whole year of programs with that person. I mean, it's just so much of that stuff.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we will close the show down, and we'll see everybody next Thursday, which is November the 3rd at 7 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio. And thank you for tuning in, and have a great week, and enjoy, have a happy and safe Halloween, which is Monday.
Safe. Yeah. Safe. A Monday, yeah. That's
odd. Okay.
Tough night. Well, Monday's good, though, because that means that all the kids got to go to school the next day. So the trick-or-treaters will be over by 8 o'clock, so.
Yeah, the kids will. And then you got the non-kids who just go.
Yeah, the teenagers are coming out. On that.
Yeah, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning.
How old are you? I'm in high school. Yeah, you are. Huh? Yeah. Okay.
Sure. And No clowns.
No clowns. That's funny. I saw something on the internet. I don't know. You might have put it up there. But there was a picture of a clown that said, "We made everybody forget about Pokemon Go, didn't we?"
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Did you? That's funny. That was funny. They did. We don't hear about Pokemon Go anymore. We hear about the clowns.
That's right. Yep. They're everywhere. All right. We'll see you all next week. Thanks again.
See you all next
and,
week. Thank you for tuning
yep.
in.
Next Thursday. Thanks a lot. Bye.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida States Winery. Florida States Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida States Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@floon.com. That's corp@floon.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.